Section 11, voice, melody, and the magic of pitch points. The first consideration when matching song to voice is how high and how low a melody goes. Many of us have had the experience of trying to sing famous songs in their original keys and discovering that the melodies are too high or too low. If you write your own songs, you can avoid this basically by choosing the right key. Simply make sure that you can pitch the melody over the chord progression. If the key needs altering, you don't want to change the chord shapes. Use a capo, assuming your accompanying instrument is a guitar. Otherwise, transpose the chords into a new key and find new shapes. Here's how to transpose a melody to suit your voice. 1. Pinpoint a moment in the song where the melody note is either uncomfortably low or high. 2. Check what chord you are playing at that point. 3. Move the melody note up or down in pitch until you can sing it. And 4 is move the chord up or down so it forms the same harmonic relationship with the problematic note as before. And 5 is measure the distance in semitones between this new chord and the old one. And 6, apply that distance to the whole song and transpose all the chords by the same amount. In an example of this, if you're singing a song in D and you find you can't reach the high A note in the melody, and that it happens over an F-sharp minor chord, bring the A down until it's comfortable. Let's say in this example, you can sing an F comfortably. So you took the A down to F, which is two whole steps, and so you would also have to bring the F-sharp minor chord down two whole steps, and you get to D minor. And so basically, you're transposing down the whole song down two whole steps, i.e. the key of B flat major. So you have to transpose all the chords accordingly. Pitch points. There is more to the question of notes being too high or too low when it comes to finding your ideal vocal range, because there's more than one way of articulating a note when you sing. Most singers find they can pitch low notes, but they can't project them with any volume, or they can scream high notes but can't control them. To work out which notes would be in your case, we can define 5 vocal pitch points, which mark important changes in the ability of someone to deliver a note. The position in the vocal range where they occur varies not only from person to person, but with the passing of time. It's useful to be aware of pitch points when you write a melody for yourself to sing. You can plan ahead, choose a key that will permit the best expressions of your voice. Here's 5 pitch points you should be able to identify. 1 is the lowest note you can sing and still be audible and stable. 2 is the lowest note you can sing with force and volume. 3 is the highest note you can sing with force and at a soft to moderate tempo. 4 is the highest note you can sing with force and still keep a stable pitch. And 5 is the highest note you can comfortably reach with falsetto. Find out where these notes are for you by playing notes on the guitar or piano and singing them and writing them down. Melodies sit within or across wherever the pitch points are in your voice. If a melody is not pitched right for you, you may not be able to show your voice to its best advantage, and the melody may not be performed effectively. For example, a melody note below pitch point 1 and above pitch point 5 is unsingable. It's too high or too low. A melody note at pitch point 1 is no good if it needs to be sung loud. A melody note at pitch point 3 is no good if the song requires that you sing it quietly. And a melody note above pitch point 3 is no good if the song requires that you sing it quietly. And a melody note above pitch point 4 is no good if your falsetto isn't strong enough to carry it. The comfort range for singing lies between pitch point 2, which is the lowest note you could sing with force and volume, and pitch point 4, which is the highest note you can sing with force and volume. The gain of strain. Vocal teachers say you should never strain your voice to get notes, and that a proper technique will extend your range. While this is true, many great recorded vocals have been achieved because people went in and shredded their voices for the benefit of the rolling tape. Assuming you don't want to permanently damage your voice or do it too often, you can get away with this. Such performers hinge on the pitch point 4, the highest full weight note, and this forces singers to hit this note or even go beyond it. a favorite rock trick of some producers and writers in the Motown studios in the 60s is when you hear Levi's stubs of the four tops straining for the high notes in Bernadette, or Marvin Gaye agonizing through I Heard It Through the Grapevine. It came about because songwriters pitched the melodies so crucial notes would fall at or above pitch point four for that singer. They deliberately put the song in that key, and they knew they would have to force the singer to strain a bit more, bringing out the desired quality in the voice. To hear a singer fighting a good battle around pitch point four, listen to Smokey Robinson's performance of Come Round Here by The Miracles, where he seems unsure whether to use falsetto or not for the high notes. You can hear a more effective switching between the two by Justin Hawkins on the chorus of the UK band Darkness's 2003 hit I Believe in a Thing Called Love. Great though the effect may be in the studio, it's not advised to have too many songs in your live set that punish your voice by working pitch point four, unless you're Bruce Springsteen, whose throat must be made of steel. The simple reason is that your voice will burn out. Even if you make it through the set for one night, if you have a sequence of gigs coming up, the cumulative effect will catch up with you. What your voice can take during one recording session or one gig is unsustainable for a tour. One way around this is to change the key of a song for live performance by dropping it a semitone or a tone. The problem note at pitch point four in the melody moves down in pitch and so requires less straining. This is easy enough for singer-songwriters to do, but harder in riff-based rock music because riffs may sound good only at one place on the guitar neck or when using open strings. Hard rock bands, in fact, often get around the problem by detuning the instruments by a semitone or more. Pitch points and melodies. Let's have a look at some specific examples of how pitch points and melodies interact. Let's take a singer, his pitch, call him Fred. His pitch point is, his PP3 is D, and it's on the fourth line of the stave. Vocal melodies are often written an octave higher than they sound. His pitch point four is the A above that. Think back to, imagine Fred singing that melody. It's constructed on two pre-chorus, so that the pre-chorus two will carry him close to pitch point four. He is forced to sing the second pre-chorus with increasing force to get the notes, and this fits the emotion of the melody and lyric. The chorus will briefly touch pitch point four note A. One way to handle pitch point four is not to hold on to it, just touch it for a beat and then come back off it and back down. So the first note of the chorus happens in the most dramatic note that Fred can sing. This guarantees the song will, the chorus will start with a bang. Now imagine Fred's pitch point one, his lowest stable note is middle C. He's given a song in B flat major, and the chorus ends with a phrase E flat D C B flat. The final note is below middle C. It means that Fred can't sing that last note properly. It's too wobbly and quiet because it's below his pitch point one. The quick solution would be to transpose the melody up a tone to the key of C major. But it might be better transposed even up to D major. The only problem with transposing to a higher key is the effect that this top, that how this affects the top part of the melody. So if we put the song in D, he can only get to his pitch point four by straining or by using falsetto. And therefore that makes C the best compromise in terms of key between his highest and lowest notes. Pitch points and blues. For this album, let's pretend Fred wants to cover an old 1932 blues classic in which the flat 7 and the flat 3 notes fall in his range. And the notes are G, A, and C. I'm just summarizing here. Once again, he finds his best key for his voice. Here's a melody checklist. When you think you have finished creating a melody, use this checklist to see if there's anything that could be improved. How interesting is the melody without any backing? What is the span of your melody? Does it fit your voice? Is your melody horizontal or vertical or a mixture? Could it be made rhythmically more interesting? How much repetition is there? Could this be reduced by variation? Finally, does the melody fit the lyric rhythmically and in terms of the style? In conclusion, not every example we've looked at and listened to will seem entirely relevant to your own musical genre, but sometimes that's exactly the way new ideas emerge from the least likely source. It's always helpful to keep your ears and your mind open to different melodic processes. It's useful to hear what sort of tunes feature in various styles of music and learn from what works in each situation. In the end, as with any musical creativity, melody writing is largely about inspiration, and that's something that's not so easy to teach. The more aware you are of the craft and techniques of a melody, the more you can take advantage of inspiration when it strikes.